Well, welcome everyone.
I'll do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me till the end. Whatever I can, I'll do for you. You have a friend.
Well, welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Relationship Marketing 101. For Tuesday, November 25th, I'm your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, and I'm coming to you live from Sandstown in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I do this every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time. We've got a great show lined up for you today. What we're going to be talking about today is how to use professional social network sites like LinkedIn, Plaxo, Pulse, there's so many of them, to really help build relationships strategically. Now, today, I also have a special surprise for everybody. I've decided that technically, I am a mess. So I have a new assistant on the show, and I'd like to introduce her. Her name is Jennifer Carter from EmpoweringWomenInBusiness.com. Jennifer, are you with me? We're having technical issues today, so Jennifer might be a minute in getting here. Just let me know when you make it here, Jennifer. So while I'm waiting for Jennifer to get here, let's see if I can move forward with content for today. And Jennifer will hopefully start unmuting some lines so I can see who else is on the line with me as well. So I'm going to start out today by talking about Hey, Jennifer, are you here? You might have to unmute yourself in that dashboard. Nope, still don't hear you, Jennifer. You want me to try? Well, while I'm waiting for Jennifer, And what I wanted to start talking about was LinkedIn. LinkedIn is one really, really neat site. I found LinkedIn probably about 2 years ago or so when it was brand new. And when it was brand new, it was a very different LinkedIn than it is today. Today, LinkedIn has turned into a true social network, something that is very similar to sites like Facebook and
hear something. Is anyone there? Hello? People on the other line who are, they can't hear you and we can't hear either because I heard somebody else talk and just so you know.
Oh, you can't hear me at all on the radio?
Yeah, I haven't been able to hear for the last, I could hear for like 30 seconds. I got cut off. I've been calling in numerous times since and it's always silent. I just clicked on the internet and I heard somebody else, possibly Carrie, saying hello.
I heard Carrie as well because I unmuted her in the control panel.
Okay.
Let's see if we can figure out why nobody can hear me. How about now? Does anybody hear me now?
So I can hear you through the phone, but...
Nobody can hear me through the thing.
I can hear you through the call now.
You can?
Yeah.
Well, guys, I don't know why you haven't heard a word I've said. I've been talking away. I've been unmuting lines, going, hello, anybody there? Hello? I'm going to try and get... Oh, Carrie just got cut off again. I'm going to try and see who else we've got on the line with us, Jennifer. Let's see if I can unmute a couple of these lines.
Okay.
Caller from area code 760. Who is this with me today?
That's Jennifer.
Oh, okay. Well, we can hang up on the phone then, Jennifer. I'll see you there instead.
Okay.
And Carrie, let's see if I can get you. Carrie, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me now?
Hey, I heard you before. You just didn't hear me.
Yeah, I haven't been able to hear anything, and online or on the phone. Very weird. And I heard you at first when you were waiting for Jennifer, and then just nothing.
That is so weird. And let's see. We've got a couple other callers. Let's see if I can figure out who they are. Okay, so I just unmuted another caller. Boy, I don't know who this one is because it just shows me zeros. It's probably someone calling in from online.
Hello.
Hi there. Who is this?
Good. Roland from TrueView Radio. I just want to let you know you can be heard online, so you can probably go ahead with the show. You can be heard.
You're wonderful. Thank you so much, Roland, because, boy, that was frustrating.
Hang in there. Hang in there. You know how it is. All right, well,
you guys
continue the good work. Take care.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, that's wonderful to hear. So let me go back and start all over again because I've been blabbing away about wonderful how wonderful LinkedIn is, and you guys didn't hear a word of that, did you? Carrie, Jennifer?
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah, we
did. Did you hear anything at all about LinkedIn?
Sure didn't. I sure didn't. Not on my end.
Well, figures. Then let's just start all over again. So what I started out talking about was how great LinkedIn is. A couple of years ago, I found LinkedIn, and I was told that it was the site where you could really use that whole 6 degrees of separation to build professional networks and connect with other people that you knew from your job. And that's what I really thought of it as. That's pretty much what it was when it first started out. What it has become, especially in the last 3 to 6 months, is something that is much more like Facebook or MySpace, but specifically for building relationships strategically. And more specifically, building relationships for businesses strategically. Jennifer, are you on LinkedIn? Did I lose Jennifer again?
Can you hear me now?
There you are.
Oh, hey, yeah, Gina, I'm on Blog Talk. Sorry, I'm also on LinkedIn.
There you go. So any idea how many contacts you have in LinkedIn?
You know, I'm just starting to grow that network because, as you said earlier, I just saw it as kind of a phone book, and you shared with us last week that it's a lot more than that. So I'm connecting into groups right now.
Well, wait till you hear about this, because this blew my socks off last week when I realized it. I don't have that many contacts on LinkedIn. I've got 147 contacts. How many people is that? That's not a lot, right? That's probably not going to do a lot of good for my business since I have an opt-in list of over 52,000. But wait till you hear some of these statistics, because this is what blew my socks off. Inside of your LinkedIn profile, underneath contacts, you're going to see three tabs. One says connections. Those are the people you are connected with. One says imported contacts, which are the people you imported from things like your Gmail account, your Yahoo account, your Outlook, things like that. And then the last one says network statistics. That's where I got my socks blown off. So at the top it says my connections. I have 147 connections. Then it says 2 degrees away, meaning the people who are friends of my 147 friends. Jennifer, if I have 147 contacts, how many people do you think I could have at 2 degrees away?
Well, if we're talking the whole 6 degrees of separate, 2 degrees of separation thing, I mean, just about anybody, anybody you wanted
just
to get.
Just friends of my friends. That's all this one is. It goes 2 degrees, then 3 degrees, then 4 degrees.
Okay, so double and triple the number, 1,000.
Okay, yeah, right. That's what I would have figured. Try 38,400 people.
Now, how do they come up with that?
They literally go in and track the people who are connected inside of LinkedIn. My friends and their friends, total 38,400 people.
Hmm.
Now, take it three levels deep. So my friends, and their friends' friends. So I figured triple or quadruple or something like that, the 38,400, right?
Yeah.
Wrong. Try 3,897,800 people.
Okay, now that's a lot of people. I'm curious, now do you have access to those 3 million people?
You have access to every single one of them. Three levels deep, you are allowed to go and connect directly to them inside of LinkedIn.
Really?
Really.
Tell us more.
That's powerful. Is that powerful or what, right? Now, total, because you can also take anybody three levels deep and have them send an introduction to anybody else they come in contact with, so it goes actually 6 levels deep. In all, I can contact 30 million people on LinkedIn. That's a lot of people.
That's a nice-sized list.
Can you imagine? Oh, I couldn't even imagine. I just couldn't even imagine. So how can you use this? What would you do with this to reach out to 30 million people or even the 3.9 million people that I can reach directly? It starts with a strategy. It's all about building relationships strategically. You want to start by first going to those people that are just 2 degrees away. You can name drop with those people. All of those people are people that are friends of your friends. So you just go and figure out who you know in common, and you can send out an invite and say, hey, I'd like to connect with you on LinkedIn. We have a mutual friend in Jennifer. I could go and look at Jennifer's whole list of people that she's connected with, and as long as I'm connected with her, send every one of them an invite, asking them to join my network on LinkedIn, and mentioning Jennifer's name. We all know how to name drop, right?
Absolutely.
Politicians are notorious for it. And anybody who's been in networking even for a short while knows how powerful name dropping can be. I know that all of the big, powerful clients that I've had over the past, I name drop with a lot. They're big names. It makes you look bigger when you can get a good name to drop. So just going and putting a plan together of connecting with so many people every single day. Try to do, if I've got 38,400 people that I need to connect with and it's going to grow on an ongoing basis, I would try doing 50 a day and go every single day inside of LinkedIn, find 50 more people who are friends of your friends and go and invite them to join you just by dropping a name. What I find happens in LinkedIn is as long as you're dropping names, about 80 to 85% of the people that you invite to join you will accept your invitation. It only gets a little trickier when you go to your third level deep, to your friends of the friends. Because when you go that third level deep, now you can't quite name drop as much. Sometimes you can luck out and find somebody who really knows the friend of a friend that you do have in common. That doesn't happen very often. So by the time you're done with that whole second level and you want to reach out to that third level, now you got to come up with a plan for what you're going to do to get them to be interested in joining your network in the first place. That's where having a powerful story comes in handy. When I teach Facebook or MySpace or any other form of social networking, what I teach is that you want to use a story that illustrates how you are an expert in your niche, a story that illustrates why you know what you know. That same story can be used in LinkedIn as well. I have a very powerful story, I'll admit it. My whole story about my recovery is extremely powerful. I would write a short little story up about this, you know, what I've been through and about my mission. My mission is to connect with 1 million people and help them learn to live the life of their dreams by building a business that uses the power of the internet. What that means is that any of these 3.9 million people who are entrepreneurs are really good contacts for me. They could certainly help me fulfill my mission. So I'm going to write this little story about my whole experience in going through my miraculous transformation and about how it's caused me to come up with this mission and that I would like them to help me further the mission by joining my network on LinkedIn. Somewhere around 70 to 75% of the people 3 levels deep will join you if you've got a powerful enough story to get them to be reeled in. If you've got close to 4 million people and you've got 70% of them, that's 2.8 million people. That is a lot of people. The neat part about LinkedIn is once you've connected with people, you can actually communicate with them right through LinkedIn. You don't ever have to go and just send out emails or any of that kind of thing. You can do everything you want right in LinkedIn. You have an inbox in LinkedIn where people will send you messages. And if you're actively growing your list on LinkedIn, you're going to get people who are going to send you messages. I get a lot of messages from people who ask, can I endorse them? Or can I give them a recommendation? Or some people just say that they've recommended me on LinkedIn. That's a great thing. I bet I have, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different requests for an endorsement right now. And that's just in the last week and a half. That's a lot. So I'm going to be busy writing to go and connect these people with the people that they want me to endorse them to. And that's a neat thing for me to do. The other great thing about LinkedIn is that they have groups in LinkedIn. Inside of LinkedIn, down on your left-hand sidebar, you're going to see groups. Now, I'm only a member of one group right now. That group is called Pro Marketers for Marketing Professionals. You want to choose the groups that you join wisely because they're really going to tell people a lot about you. There's a find group section. There's a create a group section. To me, the better way of doing this is going to be to create a group. So I'm inside of LinkedIn right now, and I am just getting ready to create a brand new group. Jennifer, what do you think I'm going to call it?
Social Marketing 101.
Something like that. You got it.
Okay.
So it's going to go with this radio show so that anyone who's a listener on this radio show can go over and join the network in LinkedIn. Now, here's what I'd like for us to all do. I'd like to do a little experiment. It's actually why I started this whole radio show in the first place. I want to try a couple of different experiments to see the effects of relationship marketing. Well, there isn't a better place to do it, as far as I'm concerned, than LinkedIn, because they'll track all of it for us. We don't have to go do all of that tedious stuff. They'll do it. So I'm starting this group. I'm going to call it Relationship Marketing 101 because it goes with the name of the show. I'm going to choose a group type and call it a networking group because that's what we're going to do. And I'll go fill in my summary and my description and stuff later. This is going to be a group of not only the listeners from the show, but the friends of the listeners and the friends of the friends of the listeners. I want all of us to go out onto LinkedIn, take our networks, and invite all of the people that we know to join this little group that I'm starting. And we're then going to ask them to go and do the same to their friends. We're going to watch it for a period of about 30 to 60 days. And we're going to see how big it can grow. If I can connect to 38,900 people just on my second level, I bet you any money that in 60 days, we could have this group over 5,000 if we really tried. Does that sound like a good idea, Jennifer?
In 60 days, 30 to 60 days, 5,000 people?
Yeah.
Your friends, my friends, Carrie's friends, et cetera.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. You still with us, Carrie?
I'm here just taking my daughter to school.
Oh, yeah, it's still early over there, isn't it? I just connected with you on LinkedIn when I first started the show, Carrie. I actually saved that just to do on the air, and you didn't even hear me make a big deal about it.
I heard you.
Oh, you did hear me? Well, I'm not going to fill out all of the details right now. I'm just going to go and get this group started so you guys can see it. And the way I'm going to do it, it's going to be a public group. It's going to be something that can be accessed by anybody. So hopefully we end up with just listeners and their friends and whatnot, but everybody will be able to see it. And we'll see where we go from there. Now, it's a really good idea to start a group like this for whatever it is that you're doing, because by doing that, you'll be able to both build your network while at the same time really get a group of loyal followers. The people who come in to your group through LinkedIn are going to be people who want to be there, people who are truly interested in growing a group, growing a network. And if they're there, there's good likelihood that they'll be interested in what it is that you have to offer at the same time. Now, that also means that you want to put some thought into who you invite to join you so that you can make that happen. I try to make my profile as detailed as I can about my experience, my background, about who I am, about what I do. But although it's detailed, it should at the same time be very conversational. You want it to be friendly. You don't want to scare people off. That would be horrible. So try to make it sound conversational. It's the same game plan I use when I'm out on Facebook or MySpace or any of those other things that we talk about, because those really do make a big difference. I'm going over to cloak our link so that you guys can find it. If you go to, I've got to get this link set up, but at the end of the show, you'll be able to get here. The site is going to be askggg.com/LinkedIn group. askggg.com/LinkedIn group. Just give me a couple of minutes to finish getting that set up for all of us. That's how you can find the group inside of LinkedIn. Jennifer, do you have a group for empowering women in business?
I don't on LinkedIn, so you can bet that I'm going to start one today. You know, let's say we start that group. You're starting the Blog Talk Radio 101. I start an empowering women in business. Let's say Carrie starts one on Heart Failure Solution, and whoever else is listening starts one with their group. Can you share with us, let's say we build this list of 5,000 or whatever, what can we do with it? Okay, so I have a group of 5,000 people. What can I do with that?
That's a great question. You can do just about anything you want with it. Because of the email system that's built into LinkedIn, because it's a group, not just contacts, you can email them through the LinkedIn system as a group. Every person that joins that group is somebody you can contact whenever you want. It's no different than having them in your autoresponder and connecting with them through an email in your autoresponder. So whatever you want literally means whatever you want. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So this is almost sounds like a much quicker way of building an additional list, if you will, to bring into my fold of all of my list building and social marketing methods there.
Well, here's what I find happening over and over again, both in LinkedIn, in Facebook, in other sites I belong to, like divapreneur.ning.com, for example. With those sites, what usually ends up happening is if you've got a sales letter that converts at, say, 2 to 4%, you know, a typical sales letter conversion, sending traffic from one of these social networks instead will allow you to instead convert it usually somewhere between 12 and 18%. I've gotten as high as 24% conversion. Because these are really about relationships and using tools like the groups, you can build those relationships and give people a chance to get to know you better. By the time they actually end up on your website, they're there for a reason. They're there because they really want to see what you've got to offer. And since they already know you, they already trust you. Since they already trust you, you don't have to worry about building your credibility in that sales letter. They already know you. That's why the conversions go up so much. The conversions get higher if you are doing the connecting with people who really are your ideal prospects. It's not difficult to go and find people based on their demographics, their age, their location, their sex, things like that, so that you can do a good job of only inviting people into your network if they are one of your ideal prospects, and then only invite those people to join your group. So it's really, truly building relationships strategically. Sit down and make a list of the types of people that you want to connect with. In an ideal world, if you could meet anybody you wanted to, what would those people look like? Then you can go out to LinkedIn, go to your 2 degrees of separation group, your 3 degrees of separation group, and find people who meet that exact criteria and invite them to join your network. Again, 50 of them every day, you'll probably get somewhere around 40 out of the 50 to join your network, which means you can grow 280 people a week. It's a lot of people every week. It's a lot more than most marketers get in their opt-in list every week. And you're going to be getting these people who are really, truly the right audience for your stuff. Not just, okay, well, they're kind of close. Not just whatever you happen to get from a giveaway. You're really going to reach the right audience. When you can reach out to the right audience with the right message at the right time, you've got a winning combination for using relationship marketing to make sales in your business. Any questions about that, Jennifer?
Yeah, so going along with this, it's kind of like as I grow these contacts, I can be essentially kind of doing a newsletter, building those relationships by sending out information that my my target audience would be interested in, and then every once in a while, like maybe your 10-to-1 ratio, sending out a sales letter when I've got that. Does that sound about right?
Sure does. No, I do things a little bit different. If you've ever read any of my emails out to my subscribers, it is super, super rare for me to send a newsletter or an email or an e-sign, whatever you want to call it, that doesn't sell something. Yet, every single one of my emails that are sent to my subscribers also has content. It has what I call a lesson in it. Twice in the last 14 months, I have violated my rule, and I sent emails to them without lessons in them. When I do that, it tends to be a much shorter email. It does tend to be fairly sales-oriented. So I make a big deal of the fact that, hey, guys, this is so important. I am sending this to you today without a lesson. It was too important to take the 10 minutes it would take to write that lesson. So here you go. This is what it is. This is why you need it. This is what it's going to help you do. Go get it right now. Those two emails, I only did it twice in the last 14 months, outconverted any other email I had sent the entire year by a lot. So you don't have to have some sort of ratio. You can be selling in every single email. So long as you first serve your audience. When we talk about blogging, about the magic formula to writing a powerful post, where you start out with the question illustrates the problem, that's your title. Then you move into the front part of the post, that's a story. That story really illustrates the problem and gets your reader to take ownership of it. Then it reiterates the question, then goes into a short bulleted list. That short bulleted list is either the solutions or the steps to the solution. Then it explains the solution, and then it gives a call to action with a resource. That resource is something that helps them get bigger results, better results, or faster results. You can use that same exact formula when you're sending out to people through LinkedIn, through your group, so that you don't have to wait so that only every so many emails actually sell something. If you use that magic formula, then you can have something that you sell in that resource spot in every single message that goes out. That's how businesses grow faster. Rather than having to wait to only send one email that promotes something every so many emails. Does that help, Jennifer?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So there are other sites that are very similar to LinkedIn. And what I'm finding is that the people who are using each one of them are not the same. They are definitely different. Another one of these sites is called Plaxo, P-L-A-X-O. Plaxo really started out more as a kind of site that helps you remember your friends' birthdays than anything else. Trying to see what my network looks like on Plaxo. Let's see if it tells me anywhere. I would think that it would. I have not logged into Plaxo now in about 7 days. In 7 days, I have 26 new connection requests, and my connections are suggesting other connections for me, and I have 7 new connection suggestions from other people. So when I'm looking at these pending connection requests, I'm noticing that I don't know any of them. And yet, when I look at them, we do have contacts in common, and these are people that are interested in connecting with me. If I check their profiles out, I just went and looked at 3 or 4 of them, every single one of them is perfect as an ideal prospect for me. I mean, they are really perfect. I couldn't have done a better job of going out and picking them myself. That tells me that I definitely want to get these people included as one of my connections. And it's super easy. It's kind of the same way as you go down your friends list inside of Facebook. You just go down your list and say, connect to Steve, connect to Bill. Every single one of these people that have invited me to be a connection of theirs has contacts in common with me. Usually, that's what allows them to meet you in the first place or to want to connect with you in the first place. They're seeing you on other people's profiles, and that's what gives them the idea to connect with you. That also means that things tend to grow in these kinds of networks exponentially. The more friends or the more connections that you have, the more people come and ask you to connect with them simply because it's a bigger audience. More people are seeing your name on contact lists. That's the only reason for it. And so it does start to snowball. As you're building your network in one of these sites, instead of it only growing by, say, 10 to 20 a week, it's going to quickly start growing by 40 to 50 a week. In a couple weeks, it'll be 100 to 150 per week, and it'll just keep growing from there. The only single thing that will cause you to stagnate and stop that growth is simply doing nothing. If you haven't gotten your group or your connection, your network, to a size where it's reached what I would call critical mass, where it's big enough that you're in enough places that people will find you and then seek you out. If you stop too early before that happens, you'll start seeing a gradual decline in the number of people who are actually asking to become one of your friends or connections. And instead, within a period of a couple of months, you'll also find that you're barely growing at all. When I'm not active on these kinds of sites, I typically expect only about 1 to 3 invitations in a week. And yet, as we just saw, just by doing a little baby bit, I invited 5 new network contacts last week in Plaxo. Just from that little bitty baby bit, it generated 26 new contact requests for me. That wasn't a whole lot of effort. It took me about 5 minutes to make that happen. That was it. So you really want to make sure that you keep up with all of the requests for connections in these sites. If you set up a profile on any one of the sites, whether it's LinkedIn, Plaxo, or the other biggie is called pulse. You want to make sure that you monitor them often, at least once a week, preferably every day, so that you are able to grow and continue growing without stagnating because of a lack of action. Hey, I'm actually finding people that I actually know here now. That's awesome. So, Jennifer, what kind of questions do you have?
Gosh, well, I think I have a question of priority here because I know, so I'm one of your, as one of your mentees and as with a lot of the other mentees, as we start to build these networks, we've got LinkedIn, we've got Plaxo, we've got some of the others you've mentioned. In order of priority, where would you start building first? And once you had a good network there, where would you build second? If, presuming that we're looking to build our list to build a business on the internet, which is probably why most of us are on the show today.
Exactly. Great question. Well, it's going to totally depend upon who your audience is. For each audience, I'd probably start in a little bit of a different spot. And I know that's not the answer you want to hear from me. You're probably looking for me to say, oh, everybody just go start here.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Why does that not work?
I guess because everybody, even some of the listeners I know to be on this call, for me, for example, LinkedIn is a great place for somebody else who isn't in a business niche, per se. LinkedIn may not be their best place. Somebody else might need to go to a place like something like Cafe Mom or a different social networking site than me because their target audience is different.
Precisely. So if you're in a more business-oriented niche, LinkedIn, Plaxo, if you're a woman, divapreneur.ning.com, those are all great places for you to be. Let's say you're in a more artsy-craftsy kind of niche, like one of my students is Joyce Wolek, whose site is lessonsfromlyrics.com. It's a site that has a lot to do with music. The best place to go to find music lovers is MySpace. For Joyce, I'd start at MySpace and then move to Facebook. So for each and every audience that you've got out there, the starting place is a little bit different. One of the best things to do for any niche is to go out and find niche-specific social networks. Let's say you're in the dog niche. There's Dogster.com. If you're stumped and you can't find one specifically, go to Ning.com, N-I-N-G.com. Type in some keywords that are related to your niche. I would be really shocked if you didn't find something in Ning. Ning has grown so fast, and I think in a way that sometimes they experience their growing pains, but for as fast as they've grown, they do a really good job. There are literally thousands upon thousands of different audiences represented in Ning. It's a great place to go to find those niche-specific social networks. Now, the thing about the niche-specific social networks is that they're going to be considerably smaller. Many of the Ning sites only have a few hundred members, while sites like LinkedIn and Facebook and MySpace are going to have a million or more visitors. Plaxo has about 2 million unique visitors per month. LinkedIn has 8.2 million visitors per month. I can tell you Facebook has about 40 million visitors per month. Twitter has about 3.4 million visitors per month. That's a lot of visitors, right? And if you do have an audience that is hanging out in one of these more general kinds of sites, you definitely want to do something in them for sure. But maybe add to what you do in there, doing something in a smaller niche-specific site simply because of the power of the relationships. relationships are going to be much stronger in those niche-specific networks simply because people resonate with the issue more. You don't have to explain the issue to them. They get it. Now it's just a matter of getting them to know you, getting them to like you, and getting them to want what it is that you've got. And the easiest way to do that, and you can do this in Ning, in LinkedIn as well, easiest way to get them to know you, get them to like you, and get them to want what it is that you have to offer. Jennifer, any ideas?
The easiest way to get people to know me and like me. Well, first and foremost, I've said this before, finding out as much about them as I can, and then finding what our mutual connection is one way that works really well.
That is true, but even easier than that.
How to get them to know me and like me?
Yep.
I don't know. Tell them a bit about me.
How about if you did them a favor or you helped them solve a problem of theirs, would they get to know you and like you better, faster?
Oh, well, there's always that, helping them out, yes.
So why not go into the groups? The groups are very much like forums. Why not go into the groups inside of LinkedIn and go take a look at groups that are your ideal audience and go answer their questions? Go help them out. Go do them favors. Invite those group members to then become a part of your group and your network. You would grow so much faster. I actually have 3 apprentices that came in from a little experiment I did back in April inside of divapreneur.ning.com. I went in, I spent 1 hour, literally 1 hour, answering questions in a forum. And they were questions like, how my WordPress blog isn't working, what should I do? Another one was something like, help, I've had my WordPress blog for a month now and I've had 10 visitors, what should I do? Things like that. I just went and told them what they should do. Didn't do anything special. Okay, let's see if anybody can hear me now. Carrie, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Hooray!
Hey! Okay, I don't know why that keeps happening, but who is that I hear with us?
Can you hear me, Gina?
I can. That's Carl. Yay!
That's the first time I've been trying to get your attention probably for about 45 minutes.
Oh, well, I'm so glad I got you.
Oh, no, sorry. I'm just sitting back here, signing out the stuff, trying to just having a grand old time listening to everything you're saying.
Awesome. So have you signed up for any of these accounts? You were in LinkedIn because I just added you to my network this morning, too.
Exactly, yes. I'm in the LinkedIn. I have no clue how to use it. I tried to look through it there last week. Not last week. And I did get somewheres. It's very interesting. And then what you said here today has really helped. And Plaxo also.
Well, if you guys want to see my profile on Plaxo you can go to askggg.com/Plaxo. And let's see if I can find my link for LinkedIn, and I'll do a redirect for that one for you, too. That way you've got both of them. Jennifer, I can't hear you. Let's see if I can get Jennifer unmuted. Aha, there she is. Jennifer, I think you were muted. Let's see if this is better.
Hey, Dina, can you hear me now?
Yay, I can.
All right.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yay. We all got back together. So what kind of questions do you guys have, other than the ones I started answering already? When I got lost, the question I was answering is, what should you do so that you can make your best use of your time? Where do you start? Did I answer that one well enough for you?
This is Jennifer. So from my perspective, yes. I just need to find those forums or social networks that are most pertinent to me, build that relationship with that particular group and get it to kind of autopilot and then move on to another.
Precisely. And, you know, if you're really stumped, if you're sitting there going, well, shoot, how do I know if my audience is hanging out in this site? What would you do to try and figure that out quickly and easily? Anybody?
If it were me, I would go in there and see what people are talking about.
That's a start. Better way to do it, though, because that's only going to give you a portion of it. That's going to show you the people who actually are opening their mouth. There's going to be a lot more people in there than just those who are actually opening their mouth.
What else could you do? We could go and do a search for them on something like Quantcast and see what kind of traffic is being sent their way, how people are finding it.
Precisely. So any of these sites that you're interested in using, go look them up in something like Quantcast.com. That's your number one best place to go and find out who the visitors of this site really are. It'll tell you everything and anything you want to know about so that you'll be able to really set it up in the most efficient way possible by using the site that can get you the best results first. That would make the most sense in the end. Carl, how about you? Any questions?
The only question that I have when it comes to the setting them up here as an example in Plexo, it says,
yes.
who can see your professional history? Should you leave that to everyone or put it just the connection, just your connections? Like what
well,
are you doing?
Well, let me answer your own question. What do you think?
Well, initially, I think leave it to everyone. Leaving it just to my connections, would that when somebody's searching, if I just say only connections, if somebody's searching and sees my name, they won't know what I'm about if I don't have it set to everyone. Is that, am I on the right track?
Anybody else? Who else wants to answer that?
Well, I was going to say the same thing, because I if people are searching me, or if I send people an invitation and they don't know who I am yet, I want them to be able to see my profile and everything about me to then make the decision to add me as a connection or a friend or whatever. I wouldn't want to.
So I leave mine set to everyone, because you never know who's going to want to connect with you, right?
Okay.
And if you don't have it set to everyone, you're going to be limiting yourself. You're going to limit yourself to only those people you want. Well, you're not going to be able to reach out to everybody. You're not going to know who to reach out to. So I just let it be open to everybody. It doesn't hurt anything. That's kind of a privacy feature that they have there. Some people say that, well, it's better to do it that way because when you have the people who were only the people that are your prospects, that you're going to be able to pick and choose, and you're not going to have crazy people out there who are trying to get in touch with you. These are professional networks for the most part, LinkedIn and Plaxo and Pulse. And if those are professional networks, then you're not going to have that many loony people. So I don't worry about it. I actually wish that sites like Facebook would let you have people see your profile if they weren't first your friends. And the reason is I'm not always sitting here at my computer logged into Facebook. If somebody wants to get to my profile in the morning, and I don't see their invitation to become my friend until that night, by the time I actually approve it, they're long gone. They forget why they wanted to see my profile. Sometimes they come back, sometimes they don't. So by having it set to everybody so you don't have to approve anybody in advance before they can see your profile, it gives you a greater opportunity for people to connect with you, instead of you always needing to connect with them. Does that make sense, Carl?
Perfect sense. No, that's kind of what I thought the answer would be, but I only asked it is because what you just hit the nail on the head as to why I asked it with Facebook. That was kind of where I was using that as an example in my own mind. What should I do here? And I kind of thought it would be okay to leave it for everybody, but I thought maybe there was some kind of industry rule.
Yeah, good question. Really good question. And it's going to differ from one social network to the next. Some of them let you do it publicly, some of them don't. It just depends on what social network you're in. If we're talking about the Ning sites, even within Ning, it's not a hard and fast rule. Some of the Ning sites have it set so that only those who have really become your friends can see your profile. Others allow you to choose who can see your profile. So sometimes I can think of a few reasons that I would want it to be one way or another, in which case you'd have to actively go and seek out those networks that really allow you to do it the way you want. I know that there's a big concern from parents with minor children, and there's a concern for their safety. Well, if you were letting your kid use a social network, the one social network you probably wouldn't want them to use is MySpace. MySpace is open to anybody. Anybody can go in without any real controls or any credentials check or background check, and they can say they're anybody. MySpace doesn't do anything to police that. On the other hand, if you were a parent and you wanted to make sure your child would be a little bit safe online, letting your child use Facebook might not be a bad idea. Carl and I saw this last night. Carl, what does Facebook do to help ensure that they've got real people who are above board and honest.
Yeah, the Facebook has the security measure of ask to verify you. They ask for a cell phone number where they can text you at. And over a period, I understand over a period of 7 days or 5 days, they will send periodic messages to that text to make sure that you are a real person.
Correct. And you've got to reply to each one.
Right,
so at
exactly.
least they're doing something to verify you, and they'll actually send a series of messages to your cell phone through text that you then need to come back and verify. Is it a perfect scenario? No. Are there still going to be a few bad people that slip through the cracks? Possibly. But there's so much that is done to help make sure that there aren't people out there going after little kids that I still find more humor in it than anything else more often than not. So, what time is it? We've got about 12 minutes before we wrap up this show. So who else is going out and starting a group on either LinkedIn or Facebook or something else that we've been talking about? Carrie,
well,
are you going to start a group? Sorry, Carl, go ahead.
No, if somebody else has something to say, I don't mind. No, I can hold off.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I want to start a group, and since we talked about it, and now what you're saying here, the one thing, I joined your group, and then I'm, the healing music, that sort of scenario, I don't know if there is, if LinkedIn is the proper place for that type of a group.
And what is the URL for that site? We might as well get that out there for everybody who's listening.
That's HTTP, I guess, we know that part, sorry.
Yeah.
Healing Music Emporium, and that Emporium is EMPORIUM.com.
HealingMusicEmporium.com. So you're looking at an audience that's a combination of a number of different things. These are people who are interested in healing of some sort, probably going to be more of a self-improvement kind of a crowd. Possibly also people who do enjoy music, although as you and I both know, you don't have to necessarily know that you enjoy music to be able to appreciate it and become a big music fan later, right?
That's correct.
So if we describe that as an audience, I would say that your audience is not just music lovers. Most music lovers would not be the kind of people that would be out, oh, what's a good way to explain it? They wouldn't be out on a professional network. They just wouldn't be there if they're just a music lover. Now, they may have other things that they do that might cause them to be there, but it would be a coincidence. It wouldn't be on purpose. Most music lovers are really out on MySpace in a big way. Yet, MySpace doesn't tend to have the right audience for a self-improvement kind of a niche. Although you're going to have fewer musicians and people who are directly into music on Facebook, what you will have on Facebook is an audience that's very, what's a good word for it, very open and very willing to explore change. That would be a good way to say it. So that it makes Facebook a better choice than MySpace as far as a site that you use in your marketing. I would definitely look for different networks inside of Ming.com because I think there's going to be so many of them that you're going to want to narrow your focus down a little bit. If you get too many of them, spend the first week just kind of lurking in these sites. Look at who the people are. Pay attention to the comments that they're making in the groups. See which one really resonates with you, which one really is an example of your niche and what you're doing. And then only when you've done that studying, you go back to invite people to actually become your friends and followers. That works well. That makes sense?
Yes, it does. Yep, very, very much so.
So I would also try Google. You never know what you're going to find in Google. I would go and put in something as specific as healing music social network. Now, I know for sure that there are some healing social networks out there. I don't know if there is a healing music social net. It could be either one. Just like right now, you really don't have a good idea of how many of those kinds of sites you might be able to go out and find. The people who are in that niche, who are interested in that topic, don't necessarily know that there are those sites out there either. So as you're building a list through the other things that you're doing, the whole six-step process for driving traffic to your blog, using some of the other social networks, don't be afraid to tell your audience about this great tool that you just discovered. Because it's going to help you to funnel people back over there. And what will happen is it's kind of the same way that affiliates work. If you can go out and get one affiliate and teach that one affiliate how to reach 10 people, now you've got the ability to reach 11 people, where on your own you can only reach one. With moving people from your blog and the other things that you're doing over to these social networks that you're working in, you're going to be able to get them to help you grow your contacts by showing them how to grow theirs. They will be so thrilled that somebody was willing to take them by the hand and show them what they wanted to know that they will go over and they will help you do that, so that you can grow that much faster. Did you follow me on that one?
I did, and that's a very good explanation. I didn't think of it that way in complete. I know we've talked about that in detail on in other ways, but that's a really great explanation. Thank you.
My friend Rick Benatel often talks about my traffic strategies as having a whirlpool effect. Think of what a whirlpool does. A whirlpool is going to constantly be circling around, and it's going to be drawing and sucking everything in from the outskirts into the center, right? In building your traffic generation plan as a whole, your relationship marketing plan, really, they're one and the same. You want to build that plan in a way that allows you to capitalize on that whirlpool effect. So you're circling around. As you're circling around, you're spitting some things off. But as you spit those things off where you're sending traffic to a site, that same traffic is still getting sucked back in and in bigger ways. So it makes the whirlpool bigger. And it just keeps evolving like that. And just keeps going around and around and around and around. And that is a big concept.
Okay, thank you.
Carrie, how about you? Are you going to be starting a group? Well, maybe we lost Carrie, too. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left in the show, Jennifer. So what should we talk about next show?
Gosh, maybe more. I'll tell you, I know this week I'm going to go out creating these groups first on LinkedIn. I've been inviting a bunch of people as we were speaking, and then I'll go do the same on Plexo and some of the other, finding more groups. On the next show, it'd be great to continue to learn the strategies of once we have these lists or once we start creating these connections on these social marketing, how do we really create those meaningful connections? I think you're a master at that. And
I think that's a great idea, really great idea. I will see if I can find a guest or two to come in and help illustrate this for me. It's one of those concepts that it's so difficult to teach it. It's easier to show it. I know yesterday, I probably had 4 calls yesterday. I mean, I was so swamped. I started about 9:30. I went until almost 1 in the morning without any telephone breaks at all. Well, 4 of the calls, for a total of about 4 hours of that time, were people that had absolutely no agenda. It was truly just getting on the phone, intending on building a relationship with these people to explore what synergies were there, see what was going to resonate with both of us, and see where we'd go from here. That's all it was. All 4 of them are turning into really great things. But only because I sat down and did that strategically to build that relationship in that way. So that's exactly what we'll pick up with next week. That's a great suggestion, Jennifer.
Fantastic. And also, just as an idea for something in the future, so writing something perhaps about writing sales letters, because I think people who are new to online marketing may not know how to do that. So once then we have those meaningful relationships, how do you write? You write sales letters. You have higher conversion than just about anybody I know, and I know a lot of people who market online. So perhaps at some point you can address that as well. How do you write sales letters that convert so highly?
Well, there's a secret. It has nothing to do with the copy. I'll show you how to write sales letters, but it has nothing to do with the copy. It has everything to do with the relationships. That's a great place to pick up next week. And when we cover copy, I'm going to bring in my buddy John Ritzkowitz, who is the master at copy. So everybody, before we go, remember that Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern is the Gold Challenge call. I've got a couple of really great shows this week and next week, not shows, but conferences this week and next week. At 8 p.m. on Wednesdays is the affiliate training call. We got some really good stuff for you the next 2 weeks as well. So I will see you guys on next Tuesday. Everyone in the U.S., have a great Thanksgiving, and thanks for being with me for Relationship Marketing 101.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Gia.
Bye, everybody. Mm-hmm.